For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Well, we went a couple of months. Hopefully you missed me. And now, your ear holes are about to be well overflowed. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. It is very good to talk to you today. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? If you have been listening to me for a good long time back in the All of the Above radio days, you were probably privy to my brother in podcasting, Chad Alexander, calling into the show a time or two, and he had me on his ridiculously successful podcast, The Local Bar, based in Columbia, South Carolina. And I am absolutely privileged and happy to tell you that I was just on that show again not too terribly long ago. So we have gone from not giving you a show since my interview with Jessica Everett of Esker's Fair Prospect in Wailuku, Maui, Hawaii, to there's already a show that I put out just a few short days ago, and now there's an interview with Chad Alexander that whenever you're ready, you go give it a listen. And now I'm here talking to you today. Part of the reason I'm doing a bit of an overflow is because I made a goal to have two shows recorded before I left for a family trip. And I got none of them done. I got part of it recorded, which is what you're about to hear in a few short minutes. But I didn't get it turned into a show. Pulling back the curtain a little bit, once I left the Fishbowl Radio Network, there was several things that were amazing and easy about doing a show at Fishbowl. The equipment is already there. The music is ready for you. You just have to pull it up and cue it and all of that good stuff. So when I would sit down in the studio, I already had a few hours worth of reading and prep and writing done. So all I had to do was sit down, pop on the microphone, and just go. So at the end of that 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, a show, voila. You would go into their FTP website, pull it, download it, and do what you needed to do with it. Just usually, I just edit the front and the back of it just to get rid of any extra fishbowl stuff that wasn't necessary and give it to you. Very, very easy. A two-hour show, not including the writing of the material, took an actual slightly over 2 hours. Once again, not including the writing, the reading, the drive. But what whenever you go and listen to my interview on The Local Bar, search the Local Bar podcast on Spotify. Chad Alexander is there. And I'm on Spotify, by the way, also. Search my name, Hank Thorpe. H-A-N-K-T-H-O-R-P-E. Hey, how you doing? In the midst of that interview, Chad says that a one-hour show takes about 5 hours. He's not wrong. Especially when you're doing shows from home, when you're plugging in your equipment, when you're setting aside the time, when you're, especially when you're doing editing, it takes a lot longer. The show that I present to you, you could probably just double the amount of time it took you to listen to it for how long it took me to put it together. Sometimes it's more. I won't even lie to you. The best part is obviously me talking to you, but there's lots that goes on before and after it gets presented to you. All of this to tell you, my goal of two shows before June 17th did not get realized, but I did record a really nice long thought process for you. What I want to present to you real quick, okay, it's not real quick, sit back, you're going to enjoy it, but it's going to take a minute, is the companion piece to my trip to Maui. Up to this point in my life, this trip is the farthest flight I've ever taken, and the most, we'll call it extravagant trip I've ever taken. I've taken trips to Mexico for when my parents used to own timeshare. I've done trips like that, and they were fantastic. I've done a few different tropical visits to places like Gulf Shores, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida. Like I said, Cancun, Mexico. I've been to tropical places, but never been to a place like Maui. And so you've heard pieces of it when I talked with Jessica Everett. I gave you little bits and pieces of my feelings about the trip. But what I didn't give you was the full, for lack of a better word, review of how I felt on the trip. So if you would, and if you've been to Maui, first and foremost, you should probably go back and listen to my interview with Jessica Everett from Esther's Fair Prospect. Partly because it was a great interview. Once again, talking with passionate people makes interviews ridiculously easy for me. I just have to kind of sit back and let them open up. It's kind of awesome. You should probably go back and listen because there is bits and pieces that allude to what I'm about to talk about with you right about now. So if you haven't heard that show yet, mild suggestion is that you go check it out and then you come on back. If you've already listened to it, you're all caught up and you're ready to go. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we discuss Maui more in depth. We'll talk to you in a little bit. So I talked a little bit about this while talking to you about that interview with Jessica. And I don't remember how deeply I got into it. So I actually like sat down and, no surprise, took down a whole bunch of notes about how I felt about Maui. And I actually wanted to share them with you real quick just because, well, what's a whole bunch of notes worth if you don't share them with the world? And then you can contact me and tell me what you think. So I know I brought this up. I do know that I brought this up. I know I brought it up to say that when you go to visit a new place, either it speaks to you or it doesn't. There are things in the middle, and I believe I said that Maui welcomed me with open arms. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. And the further away I have gotten from my trip to Maui, I remember it more fondly. This is all very real that I'm telling you. But I'm still here to tell you that Maui as a place to visit, and when I go on vacation, some little part of me always shows up, sets my feet on the ground, thank goodness, and says, all right, let's see if this is a place I could live. That's when I say to you whether a city spoke to me or not, that's usually what I mean is, could I live here? Is this city saying to me, as much as you hate moving, you will do it to be here? And Maui did not do that for me. What it is, however, is up to this point in my life, possibly the greatest vacation I've ever had, which is a pretty darn good consolation prize. And it's funny. My fiance has said this to a couple of different people, people who have been to Maui and who have not been. She said to me, or she said kind of out loud, that there's a lot of people in this world that have Maui and Hawaii by extension on their bucket list of places to travel. Like, they have seen it as like a dream to go there. And it wasn't a dream for either of us. It was a, oh, this is her. My stepmother has timeshare there. That's where they want to go this time around. Well, that sounds great. Sure, let's go. And she thought more about the idea of, okay, it's going to be a long flight. Am I going to have fun? This is going to be kind of awkward because it's family I don't see as often and don't know as well. And she had a phenomenal time. This is the first time she went. This is while I was still in massage school and made the responsible choice to not go and miss, we'll call it 8 days worth of school that I would have to pay to make up and make up and pay. I stand by that decision because I was, not the point. And when she came back or when she would FaceTime me while she was there, she was very clear on the fact of how much she loved it and wanted to go back. So I always knew we were going to end up going back, or she would end up going back and I would be there. But it's not a place that either of us ever dreamed of going. Now, after she went and came back and started to hype up just how beautiful the sea turtles were up close, or how delicious the pineapple was versus what it tastes like here, or how dark it was, and it's just something you can't even imagine. Just some random things that she kind of kept going back to. It was just like, wow, is this place really that good? Okay, I mean, I gotta... Because unfortunately, us as humans, we get skeptical of people when they begin to either A, exaggerate, or B, throw passion, or C, just start to like talk with momentum. You ever think about that? When you start talking about how rough your day at work was, or how annoying a coworker is, or how delicious a piece of steak was, 80% of the time you get a side eye from the person you're talking to and they say, was it really that good? Was it real? Is she really that annoying? Was it really that bad a day? To which I want to put up a big middle finger to any person that has ever given a side eye to somebody and say, either A, let them overspeak, or B, let them tell you the truth. Just let them have the momentum for a minute. I mean, yeah, okay. If somebody walks into a room and says, man, I can't stand my coworker, I think I'd like to run her over with my car, I'm going to go ahead and say it's okay to side-eye somebody and say, hold on, do you really feel that way? Or did you just get affected so strongly by a moment? And I understand those are very tight differences. But we as people need to kind of like dial back the side-eye every now and then. If people aren't talking dangerous or crazy with what they're saying. Looping back. This is not a place, Maui was never a place that I said, man, I have to go. This is on my bucket list. I need to go. And I am so lucky, gifted, privileged, hashtag blessed, that I was able to go. Because once again, there are some people that's like one of the places they want to be. And I can tell every last one of those people, it'll be worth it when you go. Whenever you save up the money, or whenever you send your kids off to college, or whenever you win a work trip, it's going to be worth it. But let me loop all the way back. It didn't speak to me. It welcomed me with open arms. It showed me an amazing time to which I would go back. And this I know I said when I, after I got done talking with Jessica Everett of Esther's Fair Prospect in Wailuku, I know I said this. I would love to go back to Maui purely because now, the last day we were there, I saw what the locals do. I did the touristy things. I did the travelers things. I did some of the hipster things, but just the last little taste on the last day was what the locals do. The food truck park that's in an alley over by Costco. The hipster bar in the gentrified part of town, and to hear that there is a bar crawl on the crappy side of town where the sugarcane industry has since died. That's the stuff that I want to see. That's the vacation that I love to take, because I want to immerse myself in the local culture, in the local flair. Why? Because when I go on vacation, I set foot on the ground saying, okay, insert city I'm just about to be in. Is it worth me moving here, or am I just a visitor? Charlotte, North Carolina. A nice place to visit. Didn't speak to me. And I've been twice, maybe about 10 years apart. Both times, had a good time, had a good host, even saw Asheville. Liked Asheville more than Charlotte. Don't know that it spoke to me. Detroit. I went back after I finished college in 07. Now, in defense of Detroit in 07, the largest economic crash, or another, this is Detroit we're talking about, another economic crash was about to happen, and it has since been reinvigorated, and now you've got, I think, three major sports arenas, all within like a baseball throw of each other. And there's been a reinvigoration of restaurants that have been in the city. Downtown Detroit might be a city that speaks to me more, but it was a nice place to visit. And a very walkable city, even in 2007, that I actually enjoyed, but didn't speak to me. The prime example, and if you've listened to my previous shows, you know how I feel already. You can say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Philadelphia, PA. That is a city that speaks to me every time I go. I absolutely love Philadelphia. Between the history, between the seasons, between subtracting their sports fans, the culture, it's not as fast as New York City, which I love. The food scene is amazing. The beer scene is even better. And the nature in the heart of the city is there. It's just fantastic. And what's funny, you may very well be wondering, gee, my humble host, Hank, hey, how you doing? Does Dallas speak to you? Dallas is my home. I have been here 17 years. I have grown. The person I am wouldn't be the person I am without Dallas, without the culture, without the driving, without the single scene, without the bar scene, without the lack of nature. Without all of it, I'm not the person I am. So we have a good relationship. But if another city spoke to me loud enough, I'm out this bitch. Strike that. We out this bitch. And once again, I have nothing but amazing to say about Maui. But what I will say is, up to this point, it has not been a city that straight up said to me, you want to pick up your stuff and come here. Now, if I was a person who had a dream like Jessica Everett to open up a bar, you could pick worse places to do it. And this is funny and not funny at the same time. If you wanted to pick a place to be homeless, you could pick far worse places to do it. What I learned about Hawaiian culture is that you will never go hungry. And the weather, aside from hurricane season, is so freaking temperate that you're pretty good any time of year. And there's porta potties everywhere. There's porta potties at every public beach. And I'm not going to sit here and say that getting in salt water is the same as being soapy clean, but I mean, you can fake your way through it for a pretty good long time until you, like, con your way into, like, getting a gym membership and going to work and making money, but then, like, going to the gym to shower. Like, there's probably ways around this. And Maui, not a bad place to do it. So here's another thing I wanted to ask you. And I'm going off of my notes that I haven't read from top to tail since the 24th of March. Once again, I genuinely apologize to all of you for the amount of time it takes me to get to shows. And I have no good excuses, but I have excuses. When you're a person with two jobs, when you're a person who is helping as best he can with planning a wedding, when you have a person who has friends that he wants to give time to, things don't juggle themselves correctly. There's just not enough time in the day as an adult. And it's funny. It's a big old kick in the pants because I did all of the above radio for 7 years. And so I am still, in this sector of my life, I am still primarily known as the guy with the podcast. There's like three things people label me as when I'm at my job. When I'm at my main job, the bar / restaurant that sells pizza and beer, when I'm at that job, I am known as three things. I'm the guy with the podcast. I'm the guy who has a side job as a massage therapist. And I'm a guy who is helping plan a wedding. Those are the three things on rotation that if somebody wants to ask me a surface question, they ask me one of those three surface questions. Hey man, how's the podcast going? Hey man, how's the wedding planning going? Hey, how's the massage gig going? Those are the three things that people ask me. If they want to just like do a quick drive-by, hey, how you been? Those are the questions they ask. And this is unfair to all of you who have ever asked me any of those three questions. This is unfair of me to say this to you. But sometimes I hate when you ask me those questions. And it's not because I have any issue with you. It's because I know that I'm not giving enough energy to all new, all different, all of the above. It's because I know that I'm not giving enough time and energy into the massage gig to become the massage therapist that I at some point would like to be. And on a smaller, lower level, I of course don't feel like I'm contributing enough to the wedding planning. Now, that being said, depending on what woman you ask who is already married, I have probably set the bar way too high for what their men did or didn't do. Any place possible that I can help, I have tried to offer, if not do it. And there are some women, their names are inconsequential because I'm not diming anybody out, but they are pretty convinced that their now husbands, then fiancés, didn't do squat. And if there is one thing that I will not do, is squat. But yes, I have every now and then gotten a little frustrated when somebody asked me, "Hey Hank, how's the podcast? Hey Hank, how's the massage gig?" Because neither one of them is getting the time that they deserve. Because I could be a whole hell of a lot better at either, if not both of them. If money wasn't a thing. Which, by the way, that's one of the reasons why All of the Above Radio, my previous podcast, I'm going to figure out a way to get you an episode or two. I really do want you to hear some of those previous shows. I'm going to try to figure out how to get some of those previous shows through Spotify's firewalls. Because with Spotify, you're not supposed to play somebody else's music. And so I did a lot of playing of other people's music because it was a music podcast. And even the music in the background is somebody else's music. So I'm not sure how I'm going to pull that off. But I want you to hear some of the best of episodes. I was at my best when I had 2 hours to sit and build momentum. And it was so fun. But like I was saying, I'm going off of my list. And I told you how I go about vacation. I want to immerse myself in the... Well, okay, first of all, I want to spend a little time relaxing and not working and not thinking about my job. So I can do that on the beach. Or I can do that... Never done it, but in a helicopter or on a boat getting seasick. I hate getting old. Anyway. But I immerse myself in the culture. I want the local flair because I want to know if I am currently in a city that I could move to, that I could live in, and I could love it. How do you vacation? So, do you plan your excursions, plan your trips, plan your dinners, or is it spontaneous? Is it a combination? Do you want things planned every moment? Or do you want to just say, we'll figure it out? I personally have a checklist. Like, I will do just a light level of research and I will say, okay, for example, when I stayed in Pensacola when my ex and I went to a wedding. Yeah, we went to a wedding in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And so I looked up what to do in Pensacola, which is where we stayed because it was considerably cheaper. And I basically said, okay, Pensacola, Florida has one local brewery, it has one bit of local food that looks really good, and it has one museum that if we needed to kill time, we could walk there. And anything else surrounded around the wedding, I don't care, whatever it is. And the same thing happened with Las Vegas. My ex and I, we went to Las Vegas for my buddy's 40th birthday. And I did some research and I saw, oh, there's a brewery there, there's a exhibit there, and there's a that over there. I want to do those, and then anything else, we'll leave it up to the birthday boy, or we'll just figure it out as we go. That's kind of how I work my criteria. That's what I want to do. I'll have just a small list of things, and then I'll basically say, The rest, fate can decide. So, what do? Do you plan? Do you have a criteria? Do you wing it, or do you have some mix of all of them? The trips I have taken with my fiance are usually with a lot more people, so there's a lot more opinions. But it always ends up being fun because somebody's opinion kind of steps to the forefront and is something that maybe everybody else wouldn't have done but ends up having a good time. For example, the trip to Maui. My fiance, so cute. She's going through the list of going through anytime you go on vacation, a real touristy place will have that big box, like that big standing brochure case, usually in the hotel, but sometimes just in an area where there just happens to be a lot of like walking traffic. And she picks up a brochure for a goat farm. And not only is it a goat farm, but they make like 27 different types of goat cheeses, and they make chocolate truffles with goat milk. And you're damn right, she picked that up and showed it to me, and I said, so what day are we going? Because that's something that I would do. That is not something that her father would have done. That's not something that her sister would have done. But it's something that I would do, and it's something that she would do. A flight of goat cheeses? Come on, people. How do you not want to do that? If you're one of those people that says goat cheese is disgusting, we have a deeper discussion. THEHRT3@gmail.com. We have a deeper discussion to have. I want to know your reason why. Or something we weren't able to do, my soon-to-be sister-in-law loves lavender and wanted to go to the lavender farm. They were closed. We couldn't go. But that's something that I never would have done. But I would have done and been like, okay. Because I'm sure they're going to find something for you to do. There's going to be some delicious tea, or there's going to be some like liqueur, or some bread or cookies that they make. There's got to be something for everybody. Spots like that, they do that. So back to the question. How do you vacation? Do you plan it? Do you wing it? Do you have a small criteria? Do you have a full itinerary regimented? Like, where are you on the scale? I am definitely I have a small list of requirements, and then everything else, I will let fate decide. Which sometimes makes me nervous, and I won't lie about this, because if I'm not traveling, if I'm traveling by myself, I'll figure it out. But in that weird, in that scenario where you are traveling with somebody, you feel some kind of like urge or pull to want to make sure they're happy and make sure they're entertained and make sure they're not bored or make sure they're not mentally or make sure they're mentally engaged at all times. And that's the host in me. That's the person who like thinks really hard about other people, that like wants everybody to be in a good mood and be up and be happy. And I could probably, if I were to talk to a psychologist, they'd probably tell me, hey man, it's not on you. If they're not having a good time, they could be this, 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 or this. But in my current state, that's where I'm at. So I like to make sure everybody's in a good place and happy and so on and so on. So when you don't plan things and you don't regiment things, you do run the risk sometimes of that worry of, well, are they having a good time? Or is there a gap in time where I didn't think of anything and now we're bored? I do worry about that sometimes. So, how do you vacation? Now, here's the other one that hasn't been thought of. This is the other one that I haven't brought up. Or do you vacation by just bringing your routine to the vacation place? Do you continue to eat the same thing? Do you continue to do the same thing just in a different locale? I give this man so much credit. So my soon-to-be father-in-law, his wife couldn't get her COVID test results back in time, so she couldn't go. She could not go to Maui, could not get in, because otherwise she would have had to quarantine for 14 days and we weren't going to be there that long. She told him, hey, go without me. Have a good time. I give this man so much credit. Every brewery we went to, he doesn't drink. Every goat farm we went to, doesn't really care for goat cheese. Every snorkeling tour we went on, he went. But it did crack me up. So because he was there to immerse himself with his daughters and with his soon-to-be son-in-law. And I give the man all the credit. But it did crack me up to know how much time when he wasn't with us, how much time he spent watching the same TV shows that he watches when he's home. And this is not me slighting the man, because you know what? I'm sure I've had moments like this, but there was a really entertaining moment. Let me go ahead and find this as close to the exact quote. He had a funny quip. It wasn't a complaint. It was just a really funny quip where he said he was up really early in the morning because he wakes up early for work, and he was up super early watching TV, and he mentioned in a comical way that the slapping of the waves was interrupting his television watching. That is a man who knows his routine and says, this is what I do. And that's it. And you know what? I don't fault anybody for that. If you want to take your money and pick up and do the things that you do in a different locale, knock yourself out. Don't let me stop you. Because you know what? In the midst of his watching TV, early in the morning, he was at the coffee shops with us. He wasn't immersing himself the way that I like to, but you know what? He was still there with us. And that's great. So in some way or another, that was his version of winging it. Was just letting fate decide, aka his daughters and his soon-to-be son-in-law. He let fate decide what the rest of the trip was going to be. And that's pretty cool. So once again, I ask one last time, how do you vacation? Do you bring your routine with you? Do you rest? Do you plan? Do you regiment? Do you wing it? Do you have a small criteria? What do you do? THEHRT3@gmail.com. By the way, vacation is probably the one time it is fun to be spontaneous. It's really hard to be spontaneous when you're an adult. Like, if you want to be spontaneous as an adult, it has to be in off hours when you're not, like, obviously when you're not working, or if you have kids, when the kids are all taken care of. Like, there's like criteria to spontaneity when you're an adult. Fantastic example. Just a couple of Tuesdays ago, my fiance and I, we went to the greeting card store, and it's in a walking, an outside walking shopping center. And so we got done there, and then we went and shopped at one more place just because it was a couple of doors down. And I knew I was going to be hungry before we got home, and I made dinner. So we went into the food hall, which is like an adult food court. And we're walking around, we haven't even eaten yet. And the next thing you know, we walk up to the self-serve wine bar, and suddenly we're $30 into a whole bunch of wine tasters, and then probably 20 some odd dollars into a whole bunch of tacos and gluten-free sliders from the food court. what was going to be a day of like responsible grocery shopping and making food at home turned into being a really fun, spontaneous night. And that is fantastic. But to be spontaneous at home requires like a block of spare time where you have just under the like the correct limit of something to do, and you can take that time and do whatever you want. On vacation? That's the easiest way to be spontaneous. Now, do I do that all the time? Not necessarily. You already know how I do this, because I've said it a couple of times now. Let me go back to my... Once again, this is not the... Because I haven't done a show in such a long time, this is me kind of reacclimating myself to doing a show. So I'm doing a little more staring at the notes than I used to do. I promise you, I will reach the number I've set. I set a goal for 15 shows this year, which is a little more than one a month. I think I can pull that off. But I gotta be better, and I will be better. And by the way, something that I realized as an adult, once again, when you're getting old or getting older, you have this like thing that you don't really notice, you don't really realize, but it's a very real thing, is that you can be more tired when you get back from vacation. The thing that you're getting away from work, you're getting away from the people that bother you, you're just getting away from being immersed in your everyday life. But then you go somewhere and immerse yourself in those people and that life. And it's a very real thing to take a vacation from your vacation. And I'll go ahead and just dial back a quick second, but think about it. Think about what you do on vacation, most of you. You probably are drinking. You're probably eating different food than your routine. Not my future father-in-law. My man still rocked his McDonald's every couple of days. Tip of the cap to you, sir. Tip of the cap. You're drinking more. You're eating different. You're flying, especially if you're flying to Maui. That's 8 hours both directions. There's probably no food in the fridge. You probably got laundry to do. So there's this like change to your routine for however long you were gone. And let's not forget, if you're on a time difference, there's so many different ways that your body, your wallet, and your mind need to reacclimate when you get home from vacation, that taking a day or two off, it's not a bad thing. There's no shame in it. I don't remember. I believe it was Maui. Pretty sure it was. She'll tell me whenever she listens to this, she'll tell me in text whether I was right or not. But there was one trip that my fiance and I were coming back from. I'm pretty sure it was Maui, where we were getting back at like 8 in the morning. And she had originally written herself to go into work that day. Like, she was going to go to work at like 1 and work from 1 to 9. And I didn't say anything. But in my head, I was like, it's probably not a good idea. We're probably going to be tired. We're probably going to like want to have a fresh return to the week by doing laundry or going grocery shopping or just not doing anything. And I didn't say anything because she seemed pretty strong in her point that she wanted to just get right back to work and start the routine right back to normal. And then we got a couple of days in and finally came time to write the schedule, and she decided, you know what? I'm going to take the day off. I'm just going to take Sunday off. I'm not going to work. I'll get back to it on Monday morning. And we got back from Maui. Flight was delayed, so we were a couple hours late. So that would have already been a problem. And then
when you have a full day off, you then can kind of just fudge the rules of vacation and be like, well, hold on a second. Vacation really doesn't end until tomorrow morning. We're driving home from the airport. Do we need to hit up that restaurant that we love going to and have no excuse to go to on our normal life? Yes. Yes, we need to do that. Do we want to walk around this beautiful hotel because it's right nearby, because we don't have to go to work? Yes, we want to do that. And then you get home. And she starts laundry and I go grocery shopping. Sure, maybe you don't go to sleep, but at least you give yourself a fair chance at resetting yourself to be ready for when you get back. I'm getting older. I'm not going to say she's getting older. Father Time can say whatever the hell he wants, but I'm not saying a damn thing. She is phenomenal and looks phenomenal. But I'm getting older, and I know... I know that I get tired after I'm done with a vacation. And I know that saying I need a vacation is a little bit of an overstep, but to say that I need a day, like a full day, to get my head back, to get my mind back, to get my belly back acclimated to what I do on a regular basis. Ooh, yeah, those are all real true. Ooh, boy, those are all real true. I hope any and all of you who want to go to Maui, or really just take a vacation, because I know we are, ladies and gentlemen, whether or not we remember or not, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. And there's still a lot of people that are afraid to travel. There's still a lot of people that have been saving money and had plans for trips that had to cancel or reschedule. I hope every last one of you gets to take that trip that you wanted to take, or gets to take a trip now that you were afraid to take. And furthermore, I hope that place speaks to you wherever it is, whatever it is. And I'm not going to, and once again, all the way back to the beginning, Maui didn't speak to me. But it sure did welcome me with open arms, and it sure did give me the ability to chat with all of you about some really cool things. We have lots to discuss. How do you vacation? Where is the next place you want to go? Did you go anywhere during the pandemic? What was that experience like? I will say this. I can't wait for the day that they finally tell us you don't have to wear a mask on the plane. Yeah, sure, wearing a mask for a 90-minute flight to Kansas City from Dallas, not that big a deal. Having a mask on during an 8-hour flight, yeah, that's a little different. That's a little different, people. I look forward to, hopefully at some point, this pandemic being done and we get back to normal. But there's also ways that I absolutely can't stand the thought of us getting back to normal after the pandemic is over, whenever that may be. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But not today. And we're back. Welcome back to the present time. Or at least the present time of recording. So I realized I forgot to give you all the vitals at the beginning of the show. So the biggest, most important vital these days is that you can find me on Spotify. Just search Hank Thorpe or all new, all different, all of the above. Super duper easy. Much, much easier than the earliest days of my show where you had to go to fbrn.us and go to the Red Bull and all that good stuff. You can still find it on alloftheaboveradio.com. Of course, the website will always be there. It's just a direct link to my Podomatic page. But once again, Spotify, the easiest way to find the show. And I'm so glad that I'm there. THEHRT3@gmail.com or alloftheaboveradio.com if you want to chat with me, A, about the Bands of Your Life survey. That's the other show that I put out this week. Or if you want to get back to me and chat with me about my interview, or Chad Alexander's interview with me. Or, by the way, if you have any questions about my fiance's business, Mindful Tidying with Haley. If you would like to chat with me about that, I will gladly give you testimonials on just how helpful having a tidier is to make your life a little bit easier. You can do it alone, but you know what? Think about it. Of all the things we do in our lives on a daily basis, not all of us are changing our own oil, mowing our own lawn, cleaning our own home. There's so many things you pay somebody to do. You should pay a tidier. Trust me. That tangent is over, but feel free to email me anytime or talk to me, even on Instagram, Hank, at Hank, hey, how you doing? I'll answer you there too. I wanted to do just like one or two bits of cleanup from what you just heard. So I recorded that snippet of a show before I left for my fiance's family visit in Kansas City and Iowa. And I was talking with my fiance about the show and about Maui after I recorded it. And there was just like one or two little pieces of insight that I didn't have in that moment. So I wanted to make sure I just caught a little bit of cleanup for you. So, and once again, this is a problem of mine, but I very much don't like to be made. I don't want people to think I'm a liar or for people to think I'm uninformed. So if I am wrong about something or presented the incorrect information, I like to print a proverbial retraction. And so my fiance, actually, she had mentioned that she was thinking about going back to work the day we flew back from Maui, because we got in about, what, 8-something to something, or we were supposed to get in 8-something to something in the morning. It ended up, I think, being about 10 in the morning because of delays. When you have an 8-hour flight, who knows where the frickin' delays are? There's so many different places there could be. But I thought she was going into work that day because she wanted to start the work momentum instantaneously. I was wrong. She was planning originally to go into work that same day that we flew back in so that she didn't have to spend a vacation day. It's a very new thing to me. The company that I work, the company that pays me now, the main company, the main money I make, the restaurant, because I am on a second level of management, like the top level managers, they get salary and vacation and blah, 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 blah. I am second level, so I'm the key manager. For those of you in the restaurant industry, you understand the phrase. I lock the doors at the end of the night, and I have a card where I can comp things, and if the S hits the fan, I can zip into the kitchen and flip a couple of pizzas, or I can smooth over an angry table. So but it's new, just as of last year, that my company started giving vacation time to people on my level. So this is the first job I have had other than Men's Warehouse where I accrued vacation time. And I was a part-timer with Men's Warehouse, so the vacation time that I accrued, I kid you not, it was seriously like for every 8-hour shift I worked, I think I might have accrued like 2 minutes of time. By the way, really good company to work for, at least back when I was there in 03, 02, 03, 04. When I left the company for good, they mailed me a check cashing out my vacation time. That was super cool. Now, that was back in the George Zimmer days. He is no longer the CEO. So I have no idea how they're run now. I don't know. But I would still tell you just how much fun I had at that company. Not the point. All of this to say, my fiance was trying not to use a vacation day. I did not know that. Me, because I'm new to this whole getting vacation days game,
I don't think much about that. I am, well, for the larger bulk of my life, I have been a bartender where if you don't work, you don't make money. If you want to get technical, you're losing money because you're spending money on vacation and you're not making money at work. So I didn't even think, oh, she's trying to save her vacation days. But once again, I don't like to present incorrect information. I actually, funny enough, I don't really like to present exaggerated information either. I am a true believer in the best stories require no exaggeration, which unfortunately, to make for a good story, sometimes you have to embellish. I don't like it. I always want the story itself to be big enough or good enough, but man, it's just not the case. Not when you're talking like day-to-day life. Day-to-day life is not crazy amazing. Trips to Maui are. A trip to Maui, that sure as hell requires no exaggeration. Talking about the last time you had a run-in with somebody's dog when you visited their house, yeah, you probably need to exaggerate a little to make, to add some comedy to the story. Other than, to say, yeah, the dog barks at me every time I show up. Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed with it. That doesn't really tell much of a story now, does it? So yeah, I get it. Every now and then, embellishment probably is a necessary thing. I just don't prefer to do it. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is, I totally forgot to mention this in the thought bubble I was giving you about how you vacation. What type of agenda do you bring? Do you bring any? Do you bring none? Do you have a small list of things you want to do? Blah, blah, blah. You remember, I just talked with you about it just a few short minutes ago. One thing I forgot to mention with all of you about my trip to Maui is that I had zero agenda. It was probably the first trip I have taken where I had zero agenda. Okay. The last time I can remember taking a trip with zero agenda was when my fiance and I had the crazy scheme to go to a Chiefs playoff game. We went to the Chiefs Colts playoff game that ended up being Andrew Luck's last game of consequence. He retired during the half of a preseason game, I want to say, if I remember correctly. But anyway, we watched his last preseason game. That was the first Chiefs game I ever went to. That's the first Chiefs playoff. Actually, no. That is the second Chiefs playoff game she went to. But we went in, I'm pretty sure we went in with no agenda whatsoever other than to show up, go to the game, and then we were just going to figure it out. Partly because we got in at 7 in the morning on Saturday and flew back out at 7 in the morning on Sunday. We kind of had no agenda because we had very little time to make one. But besides that, this trip to Maui was really the first time in a long time / most recent time that I didn't have an agenda. I just trusted that the people that have all been there before, my fiance, my soon-to-be sister-in-law and soon-to-be sister-in-law, and their stepbrother who lives there, were going to treat us well. I didn't walk in researching and saying, I would love to check out that restaurant. I would love to do this. People gave me advice all throughout. People said, Fleetwood's is amazing. Longy's is amazing. The pineapple is fantastic. You got to do this. You got to try this. And I kind of stored it all in my head. But at no point did I say, I want to do this. I just said, whatever we do, it's probably going to be new to me and it's probably going to be fun. I didn't even say the touristy thing of, hey man, do we need to check out a luau? Because my fiance and all of them, when they went back in 2019, they did one. They enjoyed it. but they said, we don't need to do a second one. Which led me to believe I didn't need to do a first one. So I just kind of said, okay. They did say Maui Brewing was fun. So I said, okay. She picked up a brochure and found the goat farm. And I said, hell yeah. But there was no agenda walking in to that trip. And I don't know if there's gonna be any trip between, well, I don't know what trip I would take in the near future that wouldn't have me having some level of agenda. Because usually I do research ahead of time, see what the local breweries are, see what the local flair is, see what the food scene is like, see if there's anything like fun or different to do. Usually I look that kind of stuff up. Maui, I didn't do that. And I don't know what trip I will take where I won't look stuff up ahead of time, where I won't have some level of mental prep ahead of time or thing I want to do. Because that's just how I vacation. I like to have just a small set of things to do. If we're going to be there 4 days, I want to have at least, we'll call it 3 activities in my head. Whether or not they take an hour to do, whether they take 3 hours to do. 4 days, call it 2 to 3 activities of things I would like to do. Everything else, we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. We'll have a good time. And speaking of a good time, I'll say it one more time. Maui, amazing. If you can make it, go. If you can somehow make it without your kids, do that. I have trouble. I have trouble thinking that a babysitter for the like 5 to 6 to 7 days. I'm sitting here trying to like do the math in my head, and I'm probably gonna like pass out if I think too hard about it. But I'm sure it's hard to find a sitter for a week or something like that. Cause to go to Hawaii for 3-4 days would be just crazy. Unless you live in California and you can make that, what, like 5-hour flight, no big deal. But in general, you need to be there for a week. And I tend to think you need to be there without your kids, especially young kids, because why would you bring them? I remember being on the beach and seeing 1-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 6-year-olds. What memory are they going to have of the black sand beach? Like what? And I get it. You want to have a family vacation or you couldn't find a sitter. But I would be willing to guess, without doing the math because my head started to hurt, I'd be willing to guess that it's probably more cost effective to have a babysitter at home while you are in Hawaii. Because you start to think about, if you've got 2 kids, you are now paying for 4 flights. You're now maybe getting a bigger hotel room. It's really hard to get reservations in certain places. Oh, and by the way, you're paying for people. Just the concept of 2 adults, like myself and my fiance, going to Maui is wickedly expensive. No, really, it's expensive. If you think Las Vegas is expensive, go to Maui. And take 2 kids with you. Kids who don't necessarily understand what it takes to make money and how quickly it can go when you're renting scuba equipment, or you're buying a t-shirt that they're going to outgrow in a year and a half. But then again, you can also tell from the tone of my voice that I'm not really into kids anyway. And part of the reason that I am not into the idea of having kids is because I want to have my time and my money belong to me. Hell, I struggle with the idea of adopting a dog because I see my friends that like look at their watch, they're like, oh, dog's hungry, or oh, dog got out of the pen, we gotta go. Or yeah, the took the dog to the animal hospital, sick, gonna surgery's gonna cost $1,800. Anything to save my dog. I struggle with that. And you know what? It's okay. No one is wrong. No one is wrong at all. Tangent over. If you've been to Maui, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. THEHRT3@gmail.com or alloftheaboveradio.com. I would absolutely love to hear your thoughts on it, your comments on it, and I would definitely love to hear your ideas on how you vacation. These are those moments where I think, maybe I need to just start a YouTube page and just watch the comments section. And of course, it'll spiral into some weird direction of people talking about all sorts of other things, but that was the fun of Facebook Live when I used to do all of the above radio in the Fishbowl studio. Sometimes people are on target and on task and on topic. Sometimes absolutely not. But all the same, it made for amazing content, for which I know you will make for amazing content when you contact me. So until then, it's about time to shut this one down. And I hope you've enjoyed the three bits of content I gave you, the Bands of Your Life survey episode for 2021, my conversation with Chad Alexander, and now this. Your bucket is full, your ear holes have been quite rightly massaged, and by the way, thank you, Chad Alexander, for saying I indeed have a voice for this. I do not have the correct microphone set up. I'm working on that. That's a thought bubble all its own for a show all its own. And we'll get to that soon enough. That and a lot of other topics. And by the way, did you catch that little tease right at the end? We're roughly a year after the pandemic and restaurants reopening in Texas, and I've got lots to talk to you about. In reference to that. Boy, that was really clunky. But you knew what I was saying. That's not how I want to end the show, but that's how I'm going to end the show. We're going to talk about a partial return to normalcy. We'll talk about the hopeful new microphone setup that I might be getting soon, so I can possibly run the dryer at the same time I talk to you and it doesn't get on the mic. We've got lots to talk about. I made a goal to do 15 shows this year, and we've got several more that need to be recorded between now and the end of the year. So we're going to be back together again very soon. That being said, we will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank, and may there be a next time. I say till next time.